I thought, he's the greatest receiver. Because he says in the Gospel of John, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The greatest quarterback. Oh, in the Gospel he said, hey, you can have your quarterback, I'll pay my taxes myself. Give unto God what belongs to God. The greatest owner. I will lose none of those that you've given me. Woo! He's the greatest owner. And I'm thankful I got a comeback award on Wednesday night. But the comeback player of the year, the Bible says, his own words, I will suffer at the hands of men, be beaten and crucified, and on the third day be raised to life. That's a comeback right there. Woo! And the greatest catcher. I will make you catchers of men. That's not a stretch, right? I'll make you catchers of men. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Different type of catch. It's in John chapter 21. The mystery of the 153 fish. Anybody out there who would like to live 2019 and by the end of the year have no regrets? Anybody like that? Okay, this is for you this morning. John 21, starting in verse 3. Simon Peter told him, I'm going fishing. Oh, we'll go with you, they said. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already very early in the morning, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you don't have any fish, do you? They replied, no. Well, he told them, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. They threw the net. They were not able to pull it in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. What a picture this is. So Simon Peter, when he heard it, was the Lord, tucked in his outer garment, for he had nothing underneath it, and plunged into the sea. Meanwhile, the other disciples came with a boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards. And when they got out of the boat, when they got out onto the beach, they saw a charcoal fire ready with a fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And Simon Peter went aboard, pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153. But although there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus said. But none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. And this was the third time Jesus revealed himself to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. I'm going to reference part of the rest of the chapter, but I'm going to start there reading. And a familiar story, but I think this you may not have heard before. Third time after the resurrection, coming to his disciples. And do you notice that they had gone to fish, they were out all night and caught nothing. That's without Jesus. You want to have no regrets? You want to live your life free from regrets? Do you ever feel like in life you're catching nothing? Can't pay your bills? Look. It sounds so, like, antiquated, whatever. But to me, the first question that I would think could come to my mind, are you tithing? There's a whole bunch of Christians out there who are living in disobedience and expecting their net to be full. Come on, we got to waken up. Do what God asks you to do. Bring the first into the storehouse. Honor God with what you have. And I can tell you, I was going to keep this for next week, but let me tell you, I cannot freak me out. I got my W-2 from Compassionate Care. It was like $35,000. Okay, but I don't mind you, but that's not a lot of money. Is anybody out there? Right, you're not. Okay, you don't want me to be so personal? Whatever, you know. Okay, I'm not going to ask you for your W-2. Don't worry. But it's a long time since I earned that sort of money. And you know what? God has taken care of us. And you know why? Okay, I confess to you, I've thought about it, but I didn't stop giving to God. I'm serious. Obey God. Trust God. See what happens. Are you obeying? When we're out on the boat fishing, instead of obeying and following, we may toil for nothing. And just in case you think it's magic, let me just say you from experience, there are some things that still break, whether you're obeying or not. Hello? There's a lot of gobbledygook out there. Things happen. Things break. But it's worse when you're not obeying God. That's my experience too. Verse 6, he says, throw out the net on the right side. You know, I'm quite nautical. I'm on the nautical list this year. Anyway, that's starboard. Do you know that? Those of you less acquainted with wayfaring terms. That's starboard. That's throw it out on the right. They throw the net out on the right, and it's bursting with fish. Why is that? Because the star's on board. Ha ha! You know, the star. You can tell I'm feeling a whole way lot better, right? Wait for my top 10. It's coming. Full net. Out all night without Jesus because you're not doing what you should be doing. You're distracted. You catch nothing. Jesus says, throw it out on the right because he's the star on board of your life and it's full. Hello. That's right there. A full net. Abundance, provision. The net doesn't break. It's an interesting comparison of life. And before we get much further, ask yourself, is Jesus the star of your show? Is he center stage of the drama in your life? Verse 9, it says Jesus was grilling fish and bread. That's the first fish fillet right there. We can tell it's not a Sunday, right? Because Jesus is grilling. And he says to them, give me some of your fish. They've counted them. There's 153 large fish. And when you delve into that and read about, you know what, people for thousands of years, why is that in there? Why did they count it? Why 153 and Augustine and all these people? They're kind of like all, they symbolize it, okay? They try to read into it. It's got to have, it's in there, 153 fish. It's got to have some meaning, some symbolic meaning. And so, actually, this is probably going to sound weird, but that's what we're going to do this morning. The disciples thought he was chilling. All right, because he's grilling. Okay, yes, we're going with the well and stuff. And he says, come and have breakfast. Give me some of your fish. Here's another question. I'm not going to bother answering it. Why doesn't he just multiply his own? He's done that before. But before I unpack it a little bit, I want to stop at 153. Why is that number there? And the net is full. And it was just an impression. But what if? You thinking with me? What if by the end of 2019, we have 153 people in the building? How does that grab you? Well, you need to know we probably, you know, on a good Sunday, we got 100. 153 people by the end of 2019, going into 2020, all in. I loved that last week. All in, all out. I don't know, if I was some charismatic leader now, everybody, you'd all be hooping and hollering and yee-hee! Wow, yeah, come on, let's do it! 153, come on! Cheer! Get excited about it! Yeah. But, Eureka, that's it. But you know what? You know, I just led you into my trap, whatever, but it's like, you know. There are practical things that means. If that's going to happen, there's a part that you need to play in it. And it's more than hooting, hollering, cheering, and clapping, right? You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, reading church growth books and going to leadership things and stuff like that. But for a church, you have to understand, for a church to go from 100 to 153 in 12 months, that's got to be a work of God. Hello? That's got to be a God work for that to happen, but you're not off the hook. Sorry for the pun, right? It's like, you got to do your part. You know, how are we going to do that? Well, you know, I'm thankful, Jaylene. And the babies, you know, kind of like, you can, a bunch of you can kind of get married, or some of you can say, we can do that, have babies, all right? We can, like, you know? And, of course, if the, you know, they just added 4 people to the number this morning, never like up. But, you know, everybody shows up, we kind of like, you kind of like throw them out, thank you, Jenny and Kyle, whatever. It's like, you know, kind of, well, maybe we'll get up there, but that's probably not what it means. God's principle is that he will do what we cannot do, but in principle, he will not do what we can't do if we don't do what we can do. Yeah, hooting all over there, kind of like, yeah, amen, brother, preach it. That's true. What is your part? When he tells you to throw the net out on the right, you got to do it. We got to follow his instructions. So on this, Jesus on the beach. He's on the beach. He's grilling. The fish are smelling. They're kind of like, the steam's rising. I'm like, hey, come and have breakfast. It's kind of like, wow, we're going to chill with Jesus. And I stopped reading in the chapter, but if you're familiar with it, the next thing, Jesus is grilling Peter. Do you love me more than these? Well, this is the guy who just jumped out of the boat with nothing on underneath his tunic, whatever, you know. And why? Because of what he did. You can't believe Jesus here again. Will he forgive him? You know, kind of like, why are they out fishing? Let me say this to you as well. You know, this idea of Peter saying, and somebody's always leading, I'm going fishing. And all the disciples, yeah, I'm coming. I want to say to you, and I'm trying to do the whole Super Bowl thing, whatever, but this is, in my opinion, this is a spiritual icing the kicker. Have a Pepsi or whatever. Right? You follow me? Icing the kicker. Well, what's that about? It's a distraction. Can I distract people from what they're supposed to be doing and what they can do well? Can I distract them? Time out. Icing the kicker. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Hello? And I'm, you know, well, I'm speaking to everybody, but I'm kind of like, I'm speaking to somebody actually, you know, this morning. God's speaking to you. You know what you should be doing. You know how you've been gifted. You know how you can add and build the church together. You know how, but you're distracted. You're out fishing. You're icing the kicker. And you know who's that's the devil's way. Kind of, hey, get distracted. Or you've earned it. Or do something nice. This is what kingdom business is all about. It's like, if you can get distracted, you're of no use to God. You're iced, baby. Bum 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 bum. Sorry. How do you get reeled back in? How do you get reeled back in? How do you get where you need to be? You're going to be grilled. You're going to be asked some pertinent question. Do you really love me? Do you love me more than these? Third time appearance, post-resurrection. Three times he denied him. Three times he's asked him the question. That's kind of like, squirm, baby. But the purpose is not to embarrass him. The purpose is to get him back to what he should be doing and what he was called to do and why he's in the kingdom in the first place. And you've probably heard that 100 times. But I just, do you love me more than these? You know, what is that? What is that about? Well, why are they out fishing? Well, they love their boats. They love their fishing. It's kind of like no-brainer. Hey, let me go back. Let me go backwards. I don't know. I keep picking on Melinda, whatever. You love me more than your shoes? You know. Do you love me more than your Fortnite? Where are all those? Fortnite? Fortnite? Good night. You know what I'm talking about? Fortnite. Get off the flipping machine and put some time into the kingdom work and influencing your friends and being with your friends. You love me more than your cell phone or your man cave or your work or whatever. You know, that's real personal and pertinent questions. You can fill in the blank because we all have them. We all have our icing the kicker. We all have our distraction. And good Lord, we can even make it sound spiritual. I'm praying about it.
Yeah, excuse me.
What is Jesus saying to Peter when he asks him that question? Well, I suggest to you, he's saying to him, you know, if he was like right here, right now, he's saying, okay, you screwed up big time. And yeah, that's a lousy feeling. And yeah, right now you might even be feeling like a loser. But he's saying, stop it. Stop. Stop playing the head male. Male, I say. You know, can I? You know, stop playing the wrong story. Do you really love me? Well, then stop thinking about yourself. That's kind of it. Stop thinking about how you're feeling, what you've done, your failures. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about what you're not doing or why you're not doing it. And then he goes, feed my sheep. Wow. I suggest to you, as best I can, that's our part. That's our part right there. Feed my sheep. Stop thinking about yourself. Get involved. Feed my sheep. Think about other people. Think about how they're doing. Think about how their week's been. Think about where they're at. How can you help them? Feed my sheep. And then he kind of like encapsulates it all by just saying to Peter, follow me. Get off your boat. I asked you to leave that all behind and follow me. That's simple, right? It sounds so simple. And yet, we are just so complex. Or is it just because we're so selfish? Let's say we're complex, right? Jesus told him what to do. Come follow me. Feed my sheep. And what does Peter do? You can look further down the chapter. This is what Peter does. What about her? What about him? What's he going to do? Because like he's competing with John. And I love this part, you know. That's another kind of icing the kicker right there. Hello. Oh, what about him? What about her? What are they doing? We're so brilliant at that. Well, they're doing nothing. Well, they're not showing up. Yeah, they quit. Whatever, you know, kind of like. Look, here's. This is not my words. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter. Are you listening? What's that to you? It's none of your beeswax what she's doing, he's doing, you're doing. What are you doing? Stop looking for ways out. Stop looking for excuses. Well, I'm as good as her. I'm as good as him, whatever. Kind of like, no. It's personal. When we start thinking like that, or, oh, you know, well, they haven't been here for a couple of weeks, or whatever. It's icing the kicker. Dun, 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 dun. I like that song, so I did. That's verse 21 and 22. Peter saw him. He said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? And so, as you know, I'm not making it up. Jesus replied, if I want him to live until I come back, what concern is that of yours? Follow me. And here's what we got to get into the idea about us. Can you imagine if this incident hadn't happened, if those questions hadn't been asked, if Jesus hadn't come to the beach and was grilling and chilling out with the disciples, where would we be today? There'd be no church in America, no church in China, no church in whatever. It'd have been all come to a screeching halt. That's what's so funny. I meet people all the time, and I say, it's just this is private, just keep it to ourselves. We should be like President Bush, whatever. It's personal, and whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, the only reason why there's a Catholic church today, the only reason why there's a Protestant church today, is because the apostles took their obedience seriously. And it took a little bit of work on Jesus' part to get them there. Peter, with all this guilt, all this regret. If you're betting, you'd say, they'd all gone back fishing and been miserable and full of regret the rest of their lives. And so I'm saying to you this morning, that was a moment on the beach. What if this is a moment for you? Are you going to ice the kicker? Boom, 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 boom. What are you going to do? So here's the key. Thinking about others. That's what church is about. Thinking about others' well-being. Thinking about others' spiritual well-being. Maybe this is a random thought, but I just want to, point out, and I think at times how we do church, it frustrates the life out of God, I think. For example, if I was to mention to you this morning spiritual gifts, don't tell me, but just what comes to your mind? I tell you what, my experience, 35 years or whatever of it, my experience is when I ask people that question, probably they would say tongues. Because that's the one that's kind of like, out there and people talk about and stuff. Listen, okay? My kids, my older kids, they tell me they speak in tongues. Remember? I know some really nice Christian people who speak in tongues. Remember? And all I'm saying to you, I ask God many times for that gift and he never gave it to me. So that's biblical. It's scriptural. That's okay. All right? And that's why I'll never be a pastor in the Assemblies of God. Because it's a requirement to be a pastor in the Assemblies of God. They would never take me. But who's right biblically? Hello? Who is correct biblically? You don't know, right? Okay. All right, listen. There are many spiritual gifts. There's only one of them that builds up the person. Hello? Off the top of my head, let's say there's 20 of them. Okay, there's more than that, but just a figure. There's 20 of them. 19 are given to people to serve other people. One of them is given to build up the one, the person, the individual. And why is it that too many Christians want the one gift that builds up themselves? Hello? Is anybody out there? or you want to go to Chestnut Assembly or whatever. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of like, you know what I'm talking about? That's what's wrong with us. We're chasing gifts that build up ourselves. And I'm not opposed to it, all right? So don't get me, misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's something wrong in the church when we're seeking a gift that will make me feel better about being a Christian. There's something wrong in the church when we have worship cruises and seminars and conferences out of the absolute wazoo. And what are they about? Well, I've been to many conferences or seminars. A lot of them are good, but what are they about? Well, I'm looking for something. Hello? Okay, is anybody tagging with me here? All right. Okay. Well, I'm looking for something. I need something. We need to think about, you know, what has God called us to do? Feed my sheep. Hello. And we've got American Christians that they go to two or three whatever, you know, conferences or what, you know, whatever you want to call them, whatever, two or three of them a year, and we've been doing it year after year, and we're still not feeding the sheep. You're feeding yourself. And by the way, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Right? You need to feed yourself. Not that you can be a fat Christian, but so that you can feed others. With the help of God, that's how we're going to get 153 people by Christmas. Because we care about the spiritual well-being of others. And of course, there's nothing wrong with those as long as you're bringing somebody with you, I guess. Or this is all new to you. Now, I'm not discouraging young Christians to go to this stuff. But what I'm challenging is those who've been Christians for a long, long time and we're still seeking after stuff for us. What are you doing with all this wealth of knowledge and experience in Christ? What are you doing with it? Feed my sheep. Hey, and just in case there's a wise guy here, Canbrook is excluded from what I'm talking about. Well, you know, I don't need to go to Canbrook because I'm, you know, that would be feeding myself. That's not what I'm saying. We're all going there to experience God and actually to get to know each other. And learn. I'm still learning. I can receive new things. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point I'm trying to say is, so I can give it away. He's grilling. He's chilling. Leads me to the last bit. Are you willing? I'm sorry. Okay. Are you willing? Are you excited about getting 153 people into this building by December? Are you willing to play your part? So, here it is. Trying to wrap up. Application. Small group people. Small group leaders, small group people who want to be leaders, who actually want to feed my sheep, whatever. Get on the edge of your seat right now. Wow. I'm blown away by that. People actually move to the edge of their seats. Wow. It's a miracle. Yahoo! Four things need to be part of your life. Grilling. Where two or three together in my name, there's always food. Grilling. So as you can be chilling. Okay? On the beach, in your backyard, tailgate, whatever. That's what Jesus did. Then, somewhere along the line, somewhere in that grilling, chilling part, is an opportunity to ask people pertinent questions. There's nothing wrong with Bible studies, but what is way better is pertinent questions. Pertinent, personal questions. How you doing? I haven't seen you for a while. Do you really love Jesus? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know what I mean? Because that's the only way people are going to have the opportunity to change. Stop icing the kicker. Stop making excuses. And the two other ingredients in that part of that is, you know, you're not there to judge people or to sort of lay down the law, whatever. You're there to accept. And Jesus is accepting his disciples. He's accepting Peter. All the disciples, they were all hopeless failures, and he's still accepting them and challenging them. And even though it's not in there, the fourth thing is, he's forgiving them. He's not holding it against them. It doesn't say he forgave them, but listen, Jesus is not going to recommission them and reinstate them without the idea that they have the knowledge that they're forgiven. Four essential elements of when we get together. Grilling, questions, accepting, and forgiving. Don't forget it. Are you willing? Today's the day. Get out of your boat and get back to where you need to be with Jesus. And feed my sheep. Teaching, facilitating, hosting, some shape or form, feeding others. Any one of these, the band can come right now. Any one of these, you can get on your feet. I'm willing. You ready? Kenbrook, here we come. Let's rise. Come on. Number two. 153. Here.